Red Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. We're recording pretty early, like right after work, because just like that, the 2019...
Season has not yet begun.
I mean, that's a whole year.
Not even the 2018. Holy shit.
No shit, huh? Man, slow down.
All right. And just like that, I told you it was just like that. The 2017 football season
Yeah.
Does the loss mean... Who wrote this? Does the loss mean that the Patriots bandwagon is falling apart at the seams, mostly over the rumors of a divided locker room, which we will probably discuss? Regardless, one thing is certain. The Eagles can be crossed off the list of teams that have never won a Super Bowl. It's safe to say that we'd all agree that this game is an instant classic. And between us, I'm kind of happy that, you know, the Eagles organization got themselves a Super Bowl championship. I'm not so happy for the fans, but more so for the organization, I guess. I don't feel sorry for the Patriots for obvious reasons, but I'd be lying if there wasn't a part of me that... If I didn't say there wasn't a part of me that didn't want to see them win number six. We talked about that last week. In the end, it was a very fun and entertaining game that we're going to discuss in a minute. But first, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands, legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a zero. Recovering a little bit from yesterday. Didn't drink too much, but had enough. And
how was the crawfish?
There was no crawfish. It turned into a smorgasbord instead of not crawfish. So I got the Pels game in a little over an hour, so no drinking today.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jeff.
All right. Not as depressed as you thought you'd be.
But no, I wanted to see the Patriots do it, but look, this year, oh my goodness, this year was a lot less stressful than, you know, than last year. The Falcons getting up 28-3. I was shitting myself a year ago. You know, no, I didn't give a shit. You know, this, hey, like you said last night, great game, great Super Bowl. I mean, just a lot of fun to watch. Real good ending to the season, I think.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit in detail about that game in the Super Game Recap. Let's talk about the game itself, and then we'll talk about the whole Malcolm Butler. He said, she said.
Hell of a fucking game, only one punt.
I didn't even notice that, but until later on in the game, I'm like, holy shit, yeah, this, like, everybody's scoring, or at least attempting to score.
Right, I thought I texted y'all, could have been Doug or my buddy Danny, that, you know, I said, look, first team to play defense wins, you know?
Yeah, you did, yeah. That was
And it turned out to be the Eagles with the, with the turnover. Now, I thought
the Patriots had an interception before you texted that. I think we talked about that one.
But I thought when the Patriots held them to three, that was going to be it. You know, they were going to go down there and do their magic. But what about? Look, there was
the missed extra point, the missed field goal, points, the other missed extra point. Yeah.
So then they went. You know, then they went for two and didn't get it.
Right.
Totally screwing up all the Super Bowl pools.
Yeah, no doubt, huh? What was the halftime score? Was it?
I think there was
22-12.
22-12. Yeah, 2-2.
2-2. I mean, that's 42-0. You know, 42. I mean, you know, You only get a two when the Falcons play and they get a safety. You know,
or four field goals.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Like going into the game, I really didn't care that much about it. You know, after the way the Saints lost, I'm just like, whatever. I wasn't really interested in it, but man, the game really proved to be one of the better Super Bowls, I mean, ever. Just back, a lot of scoring, a lot of back and forth. Brandon Cooks got knocked the fuck out early.
Right.
By Malcolm Jenkins.
Right. Two former Saints collide.
Two former Saints, right. Yeah. As a Saints on Saints crime.
Dude. When I first watched it and he was laying down, I'm like, he's faking it. He didn't get hit that hard.
And then
the replay, and I was like, goo! Yeah.
I didn't see the hit, but I knew he wasn't faking it. I mean, as he laid on the ground.
Yeah, I was like, shit, he might be dead.
Well, no, didn't you see? One of the Eagles defenders pointed to the sideline and did the universal he's taking a nap signal.
Oh, I missed that.
Really? Did you really? No, yeah. He put his two hands together and on the side of his head. Y'all missed that? No, he did.
Yeah, I missed it. So, well, I mean, legal hit, I mean, by the definition of the rule, right? And he was not defenseless.
Yeah, and he wasn't going up toward the head. There's nothing.
It's football.
Right. Yeah, right. There's football, nothing you can do to prevent that.
Yeah. Right. And then you can't even say that it you could say that had it not happened, the Patriots might have won the game.
I mean, look, it had a huge impact on the game.
Well,
I mean, you had to acknowledge that.
So then, what about the touchdown catch that was caught, the first one that was under review with who was it that was he got his first foot in?
Was that Ertz?
Was that one Ertz?
The one
Ertz
over the middle?
Ertz was a dive, wasn't it? Ertz was the one that dove second. This is the first one where I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the one in the back of the end zone.
I'll come on. The first one wasn't a touchdown. It should have been called back.
I disagree.
The second one was easily a touchdown and made the right call.
And I disagree. No, I'm kidding. I agree on the second one.
No, the first one.
I really thought they were going to overturn it when they slowed it down. And
the first one.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, it should have been overturned.
Why?
Because he was bobbling the ball, did not have control, and his foot stepped out of bounds.
See, I thought he had control before he lifted the back foot, and then the next foot touched, and then the foot that went out of bounds, but that was his third step by the time
he had control. I mean, the ball did shift a little bit.
Right, but it shifted. Right, he didn't have control.
So this is why, you know, to talk about the XFL, this is why I kind of think, and even Roger Goodell came out during last week saying, like, he wants to get rid of all this overanalyzing the fucking catch. And I agree. This like, bottom line is, that's a fucking touchdown, okay? He caught the ball.
Oh, but you're open. Touchdown.
But right. When you put it that way, like, it looked like it was a touchdown catch. Even though the ball was moving slightly, he caught it. It should have been a touchdown.
The catch is a catch. But, he caught it.
But that's
you're going to talk about the ball.
Don't you have to have control of the ball?
It's disregarding all the bullshit.
Don't you have to have control of the ball?
Yes,
he had it.
And he did have control. Now, if you're going to slow the camera down and look at it like microsecond by microsecond, and it barely moved a millimeter.
He didn't have control of the ball.
It didn't barely move a millimeter. The ball was shifting in his hand. He did not have control of the ball that first touchdown.
Yeah, I think he had.
They call.
I didn't have an issue with them upholding it because I'm sick of the fucking catch rules as it is. So
I think that maybe that's swaying my input.
It was more common sense. Like, you know what? It looked like a catch. It's a catch.
Right. So the second one, and that one could be forever debated, whatever. The second, doesn't matter either. The second one clearly didn't even need review, in my opinion. Like, he made a football move, so yes,
right.
he's a runner.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it crossed the line. Done. Plays over before he even hit the ground. So what else happened in the game?
I mean, the balls of the Eagles coach with all the different – I mean, first you had New England trying their trick play. Didn't work out. Brady's couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles did the same thing. And now, granted, it was a lot easier throw and catch, but still. The Eagles going for it on fourth downs. Like, the one thing – like, the Eagles played to win the game the entire game, you know, because if you look at it, I mean, Jacksonville had a chance and they kind of let up. You know, in the championship game. I mean, they were beating them, and they, right. Philly was aggressive the entire game, and that's why they won.
And that was Peterson's comments at halftime was, that was 30 minutes. We have another 30 minutes to play, the same level of intensity. And he's right. I mean, it's a fucking Super Bowl, man.
And the Patriots. I mean, that's what you need to do to beat the Patriots. It is pretty incredible. and I mean, you kind of laugh. It's like, man, Brady threw for 500 yards. Three touchdowns, no picks. They didn't punt, and they still lost the game. And all New England fans are bitching. I'm like, welcome to what we've had to deal with as a Saints fan. You know? Look what Drew Brees has had to deal with multiple seasons.
That's what a bad defense will do to you.
Right?
So, speaking of bad defenses, then there's your opening to talk about the Malcolm Butler situation. Now, I think the early story was he had missed a flight or something, and that's why he got taken down off the roster, but the later on in the day came out story now is that he was late or he missed curfew and was caught with a little marijuana.
Marijuana, Well, I guess he didn't like you after all. He just smelled your narcotics. Buck 'em, boys.
Hold on, Chief. It might be medicinal.
Oh, yeah, medicinal. Without it, I could go even blinder.
I mean, I know there were reports of that. I don't know how accurate they are, but it's great because even the player, the guy who started it ahead of his place, he's like, I didn't know I was starting until like right before the game. Like, that's crazy. I mean, Butler had played like 97% of the snaps for New England this season.
But
it's the fucking Super Bowl.
So let's say, let's say it's
crazy.
True.
I don't understand. That he didn't play.
It's crazy that they waited until the moment before the game to tell him that he wasn't playing. I mean, if he broke a team rule, you missed a curfew and you were caught with drugs, and if your team rule, the Patriot way, says that that means you don't play, whether it's the Super Bowl or the first game of the season, that you don't play. Like, they should have told him when it happened.
I mean, if that's in fact what happened.
I mean, clearly it had to be disciplinary, because if it's anything other than discipline or injury, they would have put him in the game after realizing that they needed him more than... Because you're saying, guy to give us a chance to win. Bullshit. Don't give me that.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving lip service. Like, no, it was the game plan. No. No chance.
No. You're lying.
So something happened. It'll be interesting to see when everything all comes out and what the final story is. But, you know, I mean, he was pissed. He was fucking crying that he wasn't playing. I mean, that's... You would think he would have helped them somewhat not give up 41 points.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, our Patriots fans want to fuss at Brady, or not Brady, Belichick for doing this. Like, you don't do that for the Super Bowl. You let the guy, the best, you got to play him. I don't know. I'm kind of with Belichick. Like, if the story's true, you missed the curfew and you had drugs.
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
Don't blame the fucking coach for enforcing the rule. You broke the rule. You put your selfish self above the team.
Yeah, if that's the case, and that didn't, even if they had Butler, that wouldn't have made their pass rush any better. I mean, Foles had pretty much all day to throw.
There is that. So a career backup as the coach, and was the offensive coordinator also a career backup?
I have no idea who their coordinator is.
It's something, but I love it. All I can picture is kind of like at some point, like they all huddled up together and were like, "Let's do this for all the backups in the world."
Like the what you call it, the McCown commercial.
I didn't see a McCown commercial.
No, from like 2 years ago.
No, I don't remember that. My memory ain't that good.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
But just crazy. I mean, man, that Alshon Jeffrey catch was fucking amazing. A lot of great plays.
He had a great game. For a moment in the first half, I was like, he's on the pace for MVP.
Yeah, I mean, massive game. The Eagles ran the ball well. The Eagles did everything right, man.
But yeah, that's what I was kind of like throughout the game. I was before the game. I was Patriots leaning in that direction. I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm not the kind of guy who needs to knock the winner off the top. I'd like to see it happen. As the game went on and you're seeing how aggressive and how good the Eagles are playing, you kind of can't help but, like, on that Hail Mary, I'm kind of like, I hope he misses it. Because the Eagles deserve to win that game. I mean, they poured it all out. They left it all on the field. They came to win. And kudos to them for that. And you know what? Kudos to the fans for only lighting a few trash cans on fire.
And only overturning a Prius.
And one convenience store that I know of.
Although, did you see there was the guy that ate horse shit?
I did see that a guy ate horse shit. I couldn't bring myself to watch the video.
I mean...
Why did the guy eat horse shit? Was it a bet?
Yeah.
I mean, probably, but they were going nuts in the streets. He ate it off the street.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
And of course, he was wearing Zubaz pants. And then you got freaking awnings and canopies collapsing. People are standing on the Ritz-Carlton covering there.
I take it back. I'm not giving any credit to the fans. They did exactly what we said they would do.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't get it. Anyway, oh, all right, halftime show. What about the old quick – you get 2 minutes on that. JT Lake, the Prince – I like the way they did the Prince honoree.
I like it. Yeah, that was good. I like that. That's the only part of it I thought was good.
I really wish he'd have busted out into some dick in the box, but
yeah, he ain't gonna do that for the Super Bowl.
Well, I know. Would have been cooler if he did.
No, I like that he walked out in the middle of the stands, like he came out of the concourse or whatever. And I like that he went from stage to stage. I like the way they did it. Clever. Clever. And then the little kid tweeting.
Little kid's guy, get away from me, old man.
That's what I'm laughing. I'm like, he doesn't even know who that is.
So I don't know, I didn't pay that much attention to it. I mean, everybody else at the party was, but
it was good. Good little show. I mean, I don't know half the songs he sang. You know, I'm not a.
Well, I couldn't hear him.
Yeah, like he did have some microphone issues, I think.
Well, there was so much going on. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I don't know. I liked the other one in the past. I liked the Katy Perry one with the funny sharks, and even Gaga last year.
That's what Mike Fuck the Falcons tweeted. He goes, "That kid is the left shark of 2018." That was good. I think it was fun. I don't need to be overly critical of things. But speaking of being overly critical of things, let's talk about the commercials. I'll be the first to say I went in low expectations. I was very pleased with the quality and funness that the commercials had.
Funness, is that a word?
Funness, yeah, it's like funchess, but funness.
Oh, okay. Were you eating fun dip?
And funyun.
Oh.
No, I like what Tide did with the Tide ad. This is a Tide ad. This is a Tide. And then later you thought you were in an Old Spice commercial. He's like, oh my god, this is a Tide ad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was all your boy from Stranger Things.
Yep. And then later, did you catch where they were like they're doing the whole Super Bowl thing? It's brought to you by T-Mobile, Citibank, whatever. Tide and Tide and Tide and Tide.
No, I missed that. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard since I was at a party. Like, I saw some of the commercials, didn't get to pay attention or see all of them. I mean, obviously the Eli OBJ commercial was pretty good.
That was pretty good. That was
so
that
I had. Good. Texted y'all about that, and I was like, did y'all catch like a partial commercial after halftime or before halftime? Because it was like it cut in mid-commercial, so I thought the local shit got fucked up or whatever. And then later on, it happened again.
I was going to say, after you said – it didn't happen the time you texted him, but it happened several other times.
Yeah.
After, yeah, for me, until the end, then we got to see the whole commercial. I don't know.
Well, that's what made it, I thought, clever is that you didn't know what was going on. It was like you just kind of like – popping in on Eli brainstorming, and you don't know what the fuck he's talking about or why he's talking about it. And then it all comes together at the end.
Yeah, it was good. I like that one. I like the Dinklage, Doritos, and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, it was a good
one. The Fire and Ice. I thought that was a good one.
Very good. I'm going to say Avocados from Mexico. I think they win the night based on their Twitter feed more so than their commercial. Like, they did their commercial, but then every commercial that, like, really good commercials, their Twitter feed was like, giving them props, like, they wasn't, like, making fun of them, but, like, almost saying, like, I think there was, like, the Ultra, Michelob Ultra commercial, and they were, like, they referenced that commercial saying, like, yeah, you know what would go good with Michelob Ultra? Avocados from Mexico or whatever. And then Michelob Ultra would tweet back at them and be like, that's a great idea, you know? It was pretty cool. They gave their brand personality.
I like, the Michelob Ultra commercial was good with Chris Pratt. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's
a little dumbbell.
Yeah. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, that was good.
The Jeff Goldblum Jeep commercial.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good. And I think I'm done with Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, man, the Dilly Dilly thing is just fucking taking over. And I didn't really see any of them. I guess I was wandering around the party. I didn't really see him.
And then I will say, movie previews that came out. So the Jurassic World trailer was great.
Well, at least because you finally kind of get an idea of what the hell's going on.
They come to... They get off the island, and it looks like they come here or something, or somebody creates.
There's another engineered dinosaur. It looks like a little smaller than the last one.
Mm-hmm. But that it gets local, right? I mean, it.
Yeah, look, it looks like they're here in America.
Right. Then what else? Avengers
finally got.
Didn't give you anything but a bunch of basically face shots of like, hey.
It was just a teaser. It wasn't. Wasn't even like a full trailer, so it was kind of incomplete. You had your first solo trailer.
Yeah, that was meh to me.
Which then, well, they also released another one today with more stuff in it.
Okay.
Which is better than the one yesterday.
And then the Cloverfield stuff, I like. I'm one of those people who actually likes the whole Cloverfield thing they've been doing, where they did Cloverfield and they did
10 Cloverfield. I didn't see Cloverfield Lane yet.
Yeah, they're kind of connected, but they're not really connected, though.
Right.
But I mean, that's what J.J. Abrams has said or whoever. So yeah, I've been enjoying the Cloverfield.
Yeah, and 10 Cloverfield Lane is better than Cloverfield, Jason. You should watch
it. Oh, by 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you notice it came on early on and all it said was coming soon on Netflix? And then did you notice at the end when they finished the whole presentation, they did the talking heads at the end after they signed off for the night, the first commercial after all the Super Bowl was over was another updated trailer, and it said now available on Netflix. Like, so they released it after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I noticed. It was on today. I noticed it was on today.
Yeah.
They did have a Westworld preview.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Coming in April.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. So, I'm happy with the marketing.
The game and everything lived up, you know, lived up to the hype.
It was an entertaining night.
It was a very The commercials, everything was good. God bless them.
All right. So let's do a quick NFL reach around. And the first topic on there is Hall of Fame inductees were announced. Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Brian Urlacher, Terrell Owens, and Brian Dawkins are the notable names. Players, that is. And Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, and Brian Urlacher are first ballot.
I didn't think...
Urlacher,
I mean,
right?
I know Urlacher was good.
I agree 100%.
I didn't think he should have been or would have been the first ballot.
He does not. Brian Urlacher is not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree.
If a Hall of Famer at all.
Right.
I hate to be ugly. I mean, but when before you could go on NFL.com a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, whatever, they had all the finalists and you're supposed to pick yours. And yeah, when I saw Urlacher, I mean, I was surprised even to see him up there. I just didn't feel like he was a Hall of Famer. Maybe I need to go back and look at his career. I mean, you know.
I know you're doing good.
Moss 100%.
Oh, yeah. Clearly. T.O. 100%.
Ray Lewis 100%.
Ray Lewis, Randy Moss. Well, remember, this is what? This is T.O.'s third year.
Second or third year, yeah.
His third.
Okay.
Because he, if you noticed, he wasn't on the field with the other ones. He had left. He got a little feelings hurt because he didn't get in the first 2 years.
I don't know. You look at him; it's like he's clearly a Hall of Famer. I mean,
he was, and I mean, I think they punished him for his off the field distractions or what they felt was off, or I guess you know.
I don't know. I guess I just thought instead of Urlacher, they would have gone with either maybe like Faneca or Mawai, one of those linemen.
Right. I think they could have done that. Yeah, Urlacher. Yeah. I did not agree with the first ballot. But it's so you know. I mean, a lot of these guys. I don't know how to say it. I mean, maybe it's because of our age. But these are people that.
This is relevant to us. Yeah, these are the guys that we grew up watching.
Right. You know, so much, and I mean, obviously, in high school and stuff. I mean,
even grew up watching. Right.
We were growing up watching.
Right. Exactly.
We were already growing up.
Right. But so yeah, we had a good class. Again, I mean, like you said, Moss and Lewis, Randy Moss was just a freak.
I remember it was his fault that we lost the Minnesota playoff game in 2000 because he was so awesome.
He was so awesome.
Yeah. But he's so anyway, good class.
Yeah. Then the other thing, just keeping up with the classic Jeff, since I did mess it up, the Walter Payton Man of the Year did not go to Ben Watson. But it did go to a Watt. It's J.J. Watt, not Ben Watson. The other real, I guess, big piece for NFL reach around is, Damon, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, but the future Super Bowl, the way they're going to award Super Bowls in the future, and your prediction that NOLA will get it in 2024.
Yeah, this came, I read this, I don't know if it was the Picayune or the Advocate, If I think it was Underhill that did it. You can go and find the article. But what he said is that, from what he's hearing, is that New Orleans is getting the Super Bowl in 2024, and that they are moving away from the bidding process, and that the NFL, the committee is just going to pick a city and negotiate with them from there. So there will no longer be a bidding process.
Well, you probably because the same few cities bid every year, right? And also,
for how it was before, is the NFL would invite you to bid. It wasn't just an open bid. You had to be invited to bid.
Okay. And then they probably have the same pitch from the same cities every year. I mean, New Orleans. What do you think New Orleans is going to do every year they come in for the bid? They're going to give you some Mardi Gras beads. Well, they're going to give you some king cake. They're going to do a little parade and a dance.
Well,
with
that's all for show. I mean, the real deal and the stuff that we don't see is the monetary packages they put together for the NFL. I mean, the cities pay for the NFL's.
So are you saying that now what they're going to do is reach out to a city and pretty much demand the monetary package?
Correct. And all the cities want to host it. But if you look, and correct me if I'm wrong, all right, Minnesota got their Super Bowl for building their city this year. Might be for building their stadium. Mm-hmm. Atlanta gets it next year.
Vegas will get one.
Vegas is going to get one, but they said they don't want to. They're not going to award Vegas's until the stadium is built, because they just did it with either San Francisco or L.A. and they had to push it back. I think with L.A.
It might be L.A. Yeah,
because Tampa, L.A. was supposed to host it in 2022, but they got pushed back and they awarded it to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in a non-bid, they just said fuck it, Tampa. Okay, you can have it. Then L.A. is going to be pushed back to 2023. And then that's when we'll get it at 2024.
And how do you know we're going to get it?
Because, because this is what Underhill was saying in his article. From people he's talked with, this is the new way of awarding Super Bowls with the non-competition. And that they all want to come back to New Orleans. I mean, look, they did ask us to bid, and they, up until, 4 years? I forget when, 4 years ago, we had never lost out on a bid. Anytime the NFL had asked New Orleans to bid, we got it. And they asked us to bid back-to-back years. I think it was 13 and 14 or 14 and 15. And they awarded the Super Bowls to Minnesota and Atlanta because they had just built new stadiums. The NFL, and they know the best city to host a Super Bowl is New Orleans. I mean, our small footprint, everything is walkable, always have good weather, decent winter weather. I mean, even though we had this incredible cold front a couple of weeks ago, I mean, this weekend would have been, fine.
Yeah. So, I'm moving us into fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. It's all fake. It's all a ruse.
Not true.
It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here.
Except the first piece of news is absolutely not fake. And that is, as predicted, Alvin Kamara is the offensive and the overall NFL rookie of the year. Marshawn Lattimore is the defensive rookie of the year. And this is the first time, keep me honest, that this has happened where one team has both offensive and defensive rookie of the year since 1967.
Since 1967, that is correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, let me finish before you fucking interrupt.
Yeah.
And it was the Detroit Lions who did it.
Well, let's hope it ends up better for us than it did for them.
Right. So I thought they came out representing New Orleans and the Saints organization very well all week. They had fun. Deion Sanders is nothing more than a circus clown, in my opinion. The man is just a joke.
The man, he's horrible.
He is.
He's unwatchable. My God. Here's an old man who tries to, who acts like he's 23 years old. I mean, my God, stop it.
Right. They're sitting here trying to talk to Kamara. And you could even see, he's trying to, goof off and clown around with Kamara because he thinks they're buddies and they're friends because he had him on You Ball, You Get the Call so many times. And you could even tell, like, Kamara's like, can we, like, talk about something serious? You know, I'm out here trying to be professional. Right, right, and all you want to do right. is talk about my shoes, you know?
They think it's 1990. But yeah, I mean, but how, just refreshing is it after so many years of missed drafts, you know, and missed draft picks to really hit last year on so many, and then an offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I mean, if I had told y'all 12 months ago, y'all told me I was crazy. That we were just going to kill the draft.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, getting these two awards for the Saints, too, also, I don't know, somehow it makes it feel even, I don't want to say it totally makes up, but somewhat makes up for Drew Brees not getting NFL MVP ever. Don't you?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
But, I mean, look, we got the two rookies of the year, and that's not even factoring, you know, I mean, yeah, those guys are great, but then you still got Williams, you still got Ramchick. You know, it's not just those two guys.
Yeah.
No, and DeLone, who was playing decent the first 3 weeks? No, I mean, it seemed like just about everybody contributed.
He's got to, you know, need another strong draft and, you know, make sure Ireland sticks around.
Another strong draft on top of all the last 2 years and a good free agency, man. You got to pick the Saints as the early favorite.
Well, they're currently, I think their odds are 20-1.
Okay.
Currently in Vegas.
What were they in 2009?
They were 20 to 1.
All right.
And funny enough, I will actually be in Vegas in March, so I think I'm going to put a little wager down.
Uh-huh.
It worked well for me last time.
All right. The other piece of fake news is Jim Henderson announced that he will be retiring from being the Saints play-by-play caller on WWL radio during Saints games.
Yeah, it's crazy. Although, I mean, he's been doing it for 30 years.
30? I was going to say, I don't know how long he's been doing
it, but it feels like forever. 86? Yeah, I think 86 is when he took over.
Wouldn't that be more than 30?
Well, okay, 31, 32.
Yeah, he must have just started doing it when I started listening to...
Yeah.
I don't ever remember listening to Saints games on the radio without Jim Henderson.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
I know I had brought this up on the show several years ago when we talked about it. And I really noticed it after our Super Bowl victory, and I downloaded the Colts broadcast. I know I've shared it with you and Jeff, and y'all have listened to it. And, you know, because I really didn't have anything to compare Jim Henderson with. And I mean, he is truly the best. I mean, he is going to be irreplaceable, and it's going to be weird, you know, not listening to him now. Way back in the day when I would go to the game with my brother, I'd always put my earphones on and, you know, and sit there, you know, and listen to him. And I haven't done that in a while. I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, before Peyton Manning got into the league, Archie Manning was the color guy, you know, and Jim was the play-by-play.
Yeah, I remember those
two were the absolute best. I liked Deuce. Hokie was okay. I liked him. But Archie and Jim Henderson.
Well, I remember, too, like, my grandma's seats were in the middle section, right, basically right underneath where they were broadcasting. She had, like, the second row from the top, so you could just turn around and look and see both those guys right there. I mean, and even though I don't listen to the radio as much anymore, it's still going to be weird without him. And, like, so who do you think is going to be his replacement?
As long as it's not
Deke, I'm good.
Right. Oh, well, Deke's not, Deke's not a play-by-play man. So.
He'd try.
I mean, more than, like,
call me, tell
maybe
him.
You know, I don't think they're going to stay in-house and go with maybe Sean Kelly, who currently does the Pels radio, or even, I mean, Joe Myers, who does Pelicans TV. I don't know who else.
I don't know how hard it is to transition from one sport to the other as a, you know what I mean?
Well, Myers already does football games for, like, Westwood One Radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah. So then that might be a more...
So that could be your option. I mean, because I don't know who... Locally, I don't know if there's anybody locally. You can go Todd Graff, who does the Tulane games. He's actually pretty fun, but, I mean, it's Tulane. I don't know that they'd be willing to give him that spot, but, I mean, I don't know.
Why not?
But do they do it for WWL?
No, whatever station does the two-lane game.
Yeah, right now, I'm pretty sure we have them in the Dropbox that I shared them with y'all. But, you know, you need to play Hakeem drops the ball.
Yeah, the couple of them there.
I mean, the classics.
To me, I think Hakeem drops the ball.
Going on 4th and 14, will punt it away. He hangs it very high, angling it for the near sideline. Hakeem drops the ball! Oh. Hakeem drops the ball! Ryan Mill might have fallen in at the 10-yard line!
You gotta be kidding me!
Hello to New Orleans State football! Ryan Mill, the most unlikely hero of them all! Falls on the fumble, the muff by Hakeem! There is a God after all!
I can't believe it! Hakeem was a little bit too casual just to
The interception for the touchdown... You know, Tracy Porter's interception.
It's picked up! It's picked up! It's Tracy Porter again! He's running free! He's going to go all the way! Hand outstretched! It is a safe touchdown! 70 yards on the return!
Okay, watch Tracy.
And then the kick, the NFC Championship game.
Saints fans don't want to see another. Snap, placement, kick by Hartley, and it is... It is good! It's good! It's good! Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl. Confetti fills the air. Saints fans on their feet. Everybody in black and gold having the time of their lives in the city that will not sleep tonight. All one, Saints fans, worldwide, all one.
And Jim, I don't think you could have...
And the Gleason punt.
Three and out for the Falcons and Vic. Here's Kane and the punt! Oh, and it's blocked! It's rolling inside the five! Now, and it is up. Going to be covered by the Saints for a touchdown! Oh, baby! Covered by Curtis DeLoach in the end zone. Blocked by the Saints. Shades of John Gilliam. What a moment. Just listen to this crowd. It might have been Steve Gleason who blocked it. There was pressure up the middle. They were all over Michael Kanan. Oh my gosh, what a moment as the Saints break on top just a minute and 30 seconds into this game.
Oh, and even the Jacksonville relay where he missed.
Oh yeah,
where Carney missed the kick.
Yeah,
he's like, how could you do that?
Remember the was it the Devery touchdown where he's like, he could do the backstroke into the end zone.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just the little one little plays. Even you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna be missed, man.
Yeah.
And look, honestly, I haven't listened to the Saints radio broadcast of a game in a long time.
Well, you live in Texas. I mean, you're a Dallas fan. You understand?
But I'll certainly probably listen to one of them next season just to see how they do there. All right. So that takes care of Super Bowl. That takes care of NFL Reach Around. Takes care of fake news.
Well, hold on. We have the late breaking news today with Nick Fairley.
I mean, is it really newsworthy?
I mean, we all assumed it was coming, but his release today was official.
There you go.
Because he was due some kind of bonus, I think, Wednesday, and then like 4-point-something million would have been guaranteed if he was still on the roster. I mean, it's not, but, you know, they filed a grievance with the money, so that's going to be an ongoing situation. And, I mean, it sucks for Fairley because he played so well, and he probably won't ever play again, you know.
Well, and it sucks for us because we had a player playing so well, you know, I mean.
That too.
There are avenues for them to work it out, you know. And again, the Saints, I don't know even how much the money or how much it is, just, you know, salary cap. You know, look, we can't waste $4
million. Right, right.
You know, on a player that's, has congenital heart failure, whatever it was. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Quickly, I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, but we do, I guess, just have to close the books on Pick'ems.
Yeah!
Oh, yes, we do.
But like I said, no, I mean, it's, you know, it's really not.
I finished with a fucking bang, man. It's too bad I wasn't gambling on my picks at the end of the season. I finished above one game above 500.
Good thing I wasn't gambling. I don't think I got a single playoff game right.
I mean, you fucking tanked.
Oh, I got busted over Jacksonville.
Nice. So what?
I haven't seen a collapse like that since last year's Super Bowl.
So what was the what are the final standings?
All right, Jason. Among just the three of us, Jason wins with a 505 record. He's 47-46.
Wow.
I was second place at 44-49, and Damon, you were third place with 41-47.
Okay, so that was kind of close.
In the larger league, Vincent Burke wins the whole thing with a 519 record. I posted these on Twitter today too. So Vincent Burke, then Jim Bowles, home team, gets second place, followed by Jason, and then Doug, and then Jeff, and then Damon. But Damon, you were kind of playing around the bottom of the barrel all season. You made a climb too. Not enough. You were like the Patriots.
Almost there.
And then Wheels, Davis Douglas, Neil, Gerald Booty, Life of Tass, CJG, Preston Allen, Who Dat Fit, Greenbaum, Miso Mad, Triple D, Ryan Angier, Chris McGuire, Dr. Who Dat, and EJ Pastrnak. That closes the books on Pick'ems. Good luck next year, everybody.
And we'll see if we can get the winner on the show, but probably not.
We never do.
We never do, right? That's our tradition.
We have to tell you have a chance to be on the show so you'll play.
Yeah, right.
Well, again, I wanted to make to the show because I don't know if we've been talking to the guys, but we need to get with the UK podcast.
Yes. Now that the season's over.
Now that the season's over.
Play around with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell them to reach out to them or y'all reach out to us. And.
Hey, there you are.
Well, hi. Do I know you?
No, but that's where you are. You're there. Hey, Viva Las Vegas.
I was going to say we could do, you know, as is tradition, maybe we just push bold prediction results till. Y'all want to keep doing them while Jason? I know you're on the way to the Pelicans game, so.
We just assume do them another week when we don't have anything else to talk about.
Well, then the final thought will be that the Olympics. are coming up.
Well, you saw that.
In case you didn't catch it, there was about 18 commercials during the Super Bowl. So I guess I'm going to pay a little bit of attention to it and watch it.
Very
so
little. No, you won't.
We'll probably talk a little bit about it maybe on the show.
I don't know. I usually, I'll watch, the ski jumping I might watch or the bobsledding and the luge.
You like the luge, do you?
Usually if it's on, I'll kind of catch it and I'll keep it on. But
what about the curling?
The curling is entertaining.
I was thinking curling. But I'm going to tell you something about the Olympics in these types of sports where all the athletes are so close and the point margins it's scored and judged by what they do. Every jump looks the same to me. Or you run the moguls. They all look the same to me. I know it's a time and it's milliseconds separating each one and you do it. I don't know. It's just you watch 15 of them and it's just kind of you're just watching the same thing over and over and over again. Y'all don't get that same feeling?
Nope. Thank you.
You watch the bobsledding, maybe, and you know at least you have the risk that somebody, one of them's going to flip over or something.
Well, and we're still pulling from because this is America sucks at bobsleds. You know, at least pulling for the Americans to finally do something.
They won't.
Lindsey
Vonn. I mean, at this point, I'm not pulling for her to get a gold. I'm just pulling for her not to get hurt. Right.
No, but then you have all the snowboard and all the X Game crap they tossed in there. You can also watch the ones where the people ski and then they have to shoot and then they have to do more skiing. Well, I guess that's kind of boring on TV.
They have to ski, they have to shoot, they have to do more skiing, they have to shoot again.
It's like, what the hell kind of sport is that?
So I think it'll be just fun to. We'll take a look at it. It's going to monopolize NBC's programming, obviously. So. Got that. Speaking of programming, if you haven't watched Altered Carbon yet on Netflix, I only saw the first episode and I'm already hooked.
What? Give us a.
It's a sci-fi murder mystery kind of show based off of a book, and it's like visually as strong as the story, if anything. And now it borrows from, but it a good job of it from like your Blade. It's got a Blade Runner feel. It's got a couple of other sci-fi, cyberpunk kind of feels to it as well. So, just a really good, entertaining first episode. And from what I've read, the second half is stronger than the first half.
All right.
But yeah, a lot of good TV programming in the off season. So you'll probably see that a little bit of a TV movie segment.
Black Panther in a week or two. You got Infinity War is going to be coming out.
So if you are a Dome Patrol podcast listener, stay tuned for the off season. We're giving you a little bit of a teaser ourselves. This is our Super Bowl commercial. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show in your car on Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, NFL donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
While you're good and you're lean, you ought to go see the Mardi Gras. If you go to New Orleans, you ought to go see the Mardi Gras. When you see the Mardi Gras, somebody'll tell you what's carnival for. Get your ticket in your hand, you want to go to New Orleans. Get your ticket in your hand, you wanna go to New Orleans. You know when you get to New Orleans, somebody'll show you the Zulu King. You will see the Zulu King down on St. Claude and Dumas. You know you see the Zulu King down on St. Claude and Dumas. And if you stay right there, I'm sure you'll see the Zulu.